Misinterpreted, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Often called the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13 is one of the most well-known and frequently quoted passages in the Bible. You've probably heard it read at a wedding or printed on an anniversary card. While beautiful and powerful, this chapter is also frequently misused. So what does it really mean? Just like any other piece of writing, Bible verses have context. And in the case of 1 Corinthians 13, the surrounding chapters are essential to understanding what Paul is saying. The Corinthian church was full of division, pride, and misuse of spiritual gifts. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians to address these issues and to correct their misunderstanding of what it means to be spiritual. Chapters 12 and 14 deal specifically with spiritual gifts, tongues, prophecy, healing, teaching, and how these should function in the life of the church. Right in the middle of this conversation comes chapter 13. Why does Paul pause here to talk about love? Because without love, none of the gifts matter. Paul isn't offering a general reflection on human affection or romantic connection. He's not giving us a poetic passage for wedding ceremonies. He's writing a theological correction to a church full of immature believers who are more concerned with showing off their gifts than building up one another in love. Here are three ways this passage is commonly misinterpreted. Number one, the mushy-mushy romance reading. Many people assume 1 Corinthians 13 is about romantic love, especially since it's so often quoted at weddings. While the passage certainly applies to how spouses should treat one another, that's not Paul's primary intent. Paul uses the Greek word agape, a love that is self-sacrificial, others-focused, and rooted in God's character. This isn't about falling in love. It's about how believers should live in community with one another, especially when dealing with disagreements, differences, and spiritual gifts. Number two, the love means avoiding conflict reading. Because the chapter describes love as patient, kind, and not arrogant, some have taken this to mean that biblical love never confronts sin or speaks hard truths. But verse 6 makes a critical clarification. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Biblical love is not sentimental tolerance. It's grounded in righteousness and truth. Sometimes the most loving thing to do is to gently correct a brother or sister in Christ. Number three, the we should stop focusing on theology and just love each other reading. Some readers look at verse 8, as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. And conclude that theology and spiritual gifts aren't important. If these things are temporary, they reason, shouldn't we stop spending so much time debating doctrine or studying theology? Likewise, some readers look at verses 9 to 12 and say, see, we can only know in part, so why argue over who is right? If we can't understand it fully until Christ returns, then aren't all perspectives and interpretations valid? But that misses Paul's point entirely. Paul isn't dismissing theology. He's putting it in perspective. Without love, prophecy and knowledge can lead to arrogance. But when grounded in love, they serve to build up the body of Christ. Paul's point is not that knowledge is bad, but that love must be the aim of our knowledge. Far from rejecting theology, Paul's letters are filled with rich doctrine and careful argument. He writes them out of love for the church, to help believers grow in maturity, discernment, and unity. The knowledge we have now may be partial, but that doesn't make it meaningless. In fact, God has revealed what we need to know for life and godliness, and it is a loving act to know it, teach it, and apply it faithfully. So what difference does it make whether we understand 1 Corinthians 13 correctly? A misreading of this chapter can lead us to treat love as a vague sentiment, detached from truth, doctrine, or discipline. We might elevate feelings over faithfulness or assume that loving others simply means staying silent, keeping the peace, or affirming everything. But rightly understood, 1 Corinthians 13 shapes how we live every day. This kind of love is not just for weddings or poetic moments. It's for board meetings, small groups, dinner tables, and difficult conversations. It calls us to love with patience when others frustrate us, with humility when we're tempted to boast, and with endurance when relationships get hard. It also reminds us that spiritual maturity is not measured by how much we know, but by how well we love in the truth. Doctrine and discernment still matter deeply, but they must be carried in hands shaped by love. Theology without love becomes cold and combative. Love without truth becomes sentimental and shallow. We need both. Most importantly, this chapter ultimately points to Jesus. He is the one who perfectly fulfills this description of love. He is patient and kind. He bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things for our sake. And now through his Spirit, we are empowered to love others as he first loved us. The beauty of 1 Corinthians 13 isn't just in its poetry, it's in its call to live out the gospel together in love.